Take your Bibles now and go to Proverbs chapter 11, just after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 11, we'll read the first four verses this evening. We'll read them responsively. I'll read verse number 1, you'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perseverance of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us and how you've worked through this place. Lord, the devil would like to see nothing more than to see a work like this stopped. Lord, tonight, please arrest our minds. Lord, we ask that you would put our sicknesses, Lord, the different things that might be tugging at our heart, Lord, and bothering our mind. Lord, tonight, may we set those aside. And Holy Spirit, please allow us to unite our mind and our heart with this truth that you have prepared for us. Fill us with your power as we listen. Fill our pastor with your power as he preaches. Do something special in our hearts tonight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll look at your Bibles with me for a moment, Proverbs 11, verse number 3 is kind of the launching point tonight. Proverbs 11, 3, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject, and we'll use our Bibles a little. I'm not going to preach long. I promise I'm going to land the plane at 7 o'clock, whether I'm done or not. I preached a little extra this morning, and I went a little longer than I planned, but I really felt like we needed it this morning. Let me start by saying this. I find that the older I get, the less honest people have become. Seems like people in general, society, has just turned to untruthfulness. And I realize I'm not an old man yet. To some of you, I seem that way. To some of you, I'm just a kid. I like you. Right, Brother Mike? But it just seems like in general, society is less honest than it's ever been. Between politics, the press, advertising, Hollywood, we have created a world of dishonesty. We live, and listen to this, and I'm going to use some terminology. It might prick a few people here, but we live in a virtual or a cyber world that is not honest and it's not real. Right. And we have translated that into everyday living. As a Christian, I am supposed to live with integrity and honesty. I am supposed to be honest. Now, let me set a foundation and then we'll come back to that. The Bible calls Satan the father of all lies. John chapter 8, verse number 44. We won't take time to turn there. But the Bible says you are of your father, the devil, and he is the father of all lies. Because we are all conceived as sinners, because we are all born as sinners. Listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm 58, verse number 3, that we came forth out of the womb speaking lies. I mentioned this, I believe, this morning. Did you know you don't have to teach people how to sin?
That's right.
I'm going to go one step farther. Let me say it this way. Did you know that lying is not taught to a child? They come forth out of the womb knowing how to lie? Let me show you what I mean. 2 o'clock in the morning, that thing's been fed. It's got dry and clean clothes on, and it starts screaming like it's dying. You say, what's it want? Attention. Ain't nothing wrong with it, but it's got to have attention. Now, you think something's wrong, but it's just crying for you to be there. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a person to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. We come forth out of the womb speaking lies. Children lie naturally. The biggest sin of children is lying. Guaranteed. Most prominent sin. Everybody doing okay? Man, did it get quiet in here? You say, why? Because it's done instinctively by your flesh. Doesn't matter if it's your kids, my kids, your grandkids, someday my grandkids. Doesn't matter whose children they are. Children lie by instinct because it is a reaction of the flesh. Our pride and our selfishness runs so deep that lying is natural to the flesh. Now, society has keyed in on this for a long time, just so you know. We now think that we protect a child by lying to them. Hold on to your hats. You ready? I'm going to spoil everything. We lie to them with false... that's probably a little too strong, but we lie to them, tell them that some guy in a red suit with a white beard is a real person that's going to bring presents to everybody. Now, I'm not saying that Santa Claus is Satan, but I am saying this, don't lie to your kids. Everybody doing okay? Same thing about an Easter bunny. Who in the world ever saw a rabbit lay eggs anyway? That just does not compute, you know? Tooth fairies. Well, ain't no boy in the world want no fairy in his room, trust me. Any normal boy. Yeah, good night. First time I found out that if you pulled the tooth, you got a quarter, man. You was looking for your brother, hit you in the face with the ball bat so you could get a couple bucks, amen? Now, wait a minute. We think we shield our children from bad news by not telling them the truth. I think one of the crimes of our generation is we try to protect a child from telling them somebody passed away or died. Do you know a child needs to be taught about death? Part of living is death. From the time that boy couldn't even walk, he was going to funerals. From the time he was probably a year and a half, 2 years old, he was in funeral homes. I remember he was about 2 years old. He said, "Daddy, can I touch it?" I said, "You may." He knew the person. He touched that old dead hand in that casket. He said, "Daddy, that's cold." I said, "Because they're not in that body. That's just their flesh. They're in heaven." Oh. Say, "Oh, did he have nightmares?" No, he created them. I mean, no. You say, what was it? He learned something important about death and life and what happens to a person when they do die. He learned about heaven. I believe that we ought to be honest with our children. No wonder they lie when we lie to them. Ouch. Telling the truth doesn't have to be brutal, though. There's a way to tell the truth tactfully and not be... this is probably not a nice word. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be brutal with the truth. Now, it amazes me how all of us fight hard for some truth. But we don't want all truth. Now, hang on. We'll fight for the truth of the Bible. We'll fight for the truth of salvation. We'll fight for the truth of living right and standing for justice as long as it benefits us. But look how often we lie to ourselves and others about our own sin. We can be honest about everybody else's sin, but what about that person you're looking at in the mirror every morning? How honest are you with that one? We want the truth about everybody else's sin, but we're really good at keeping ours quiet and lying to ourselves about it. It's that time again. I'll say it again. This is not a church where we're going to stand somebody up if they do something wrong and tell everybody out there what they did that was wrong. Say why? Number one, you can't forgive them anyway. Only God can. Number two, what good's it going to do for you to know what the sin was? Say, well, you're just covering it up. No, it's already been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, when it's your child, you'll be thankful that the preacher's preaching this way. Well, I think that there needs to be church discipline. Yeah, discipline yourself. How about before you listen to theirs, we bring you up and tell everybody your sin? Who are you to judge somebody else's? Who made you God? Who made me God? Isn't it amazing? Don't take this the wrong way. One of our, somebody can stumble in off the street, and this has happened in this church, both of these situations. We've had a lady come in and get saved who is a prostitute. We've had drunkards come in here and get saved. Drug addicts come in here and get saved. And we'll get excited about that. Good night. I told a story today about Brother Buck's brother getting saved. I mean, addicted to booze, just hard, rough guy. I mean, literally shot at three different preachers to get him off their property. I mean, you talk about a rough character, and I got to go visit the guy. Watched him get saved. Now, wait a minute. We praise God at those kind of stories. Let one of our kids who grows up in church here come a teenager and do something stupid, and you want to stand them up in front of everybody and tell them how wicked and filthy and vile they are. Well, as long as I got breath in my body and some sanity in my brain, that's not happening under my watch. They haven't done 1/1,000th of what somebody else you were praising God for, and you want to criticize the one that made a mistake? Well, that one should know better. Everybody should know better. So, here we go. Lying is a sin from Satan. Because we're sinners, lying is natural to the sinful flesh. But lying is still wrong, no matter how easy it is to do. It is not acceptable to God. And we need to be honest to tell the truth. We need to be honestly looking at ourselves to live in an honest way with everybody. Now, tonight I'm going to share about 3 or 4 thoughts with you. And we'll be going to the house. Number one, what is honesty? What is honesty? It literally means free from deceit, free from untruthfulness. It means truthful. Deceit means you're trying to portray something one way, but it has a second meaning behind it that is totally opposite. Teenagers are good at deceit. Well, Mom said I could. Yeah, 3 years ago. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I used that one. It didn't work. But I tried it, just like everybody else. Deceit is advertising. Try this new product. It's worth $377.97, but you can get it today for $19.99. Something's wrong here. If it's that valuable, you're not going to sell it for that. That's called deceit. All right? And I'm not going any farther with that. But honesty means truthful, full of truth. There is no, the word deceit or the word integrity, it's actually an architectural term. In olden days, they would make sculptures, and if the sculptor had made an error, they would often fill it with wax. And then they would cover it over with some of the stone material to where you couldn't see it. And the word truthful or integrity means that it was tried by heat. What somebody would do to see if there were any flaws in a statue that was made by someone, they would take like a torch and they would heat it up and see if any of those places melted out. In other words, it had to take the test of the heat to make sure that its integrity was intact. Does that make sense? There was no deceitfulness to hide the flaws. God says, lack of better terminology, you don't need to fill it with Bondo. Not time to cover it with fiberglass and paint. It's going to be the real deal or not at all. We're supposed to live in honesty. In other words, honesty is living and telling the truth in every situation. I'm going to make a statement here. Honesty sometimes is going to hurt you. Honesty sometimes is going to reveal your error and your wrong. Young people, when you get caught doing something wrong, you ought to say, yes, sir, no, sir, that was me. Yes, ma'am, that was me. You ought not, I found out a long time ago, if you just say yes right away, the punishment is usually a whole lot less than if you lie about it. Because then there's an investigation and things get really bad. All of these things that we've had in the last several years about people getting shot by police officers and their, you know, hands up, don't shoot, and all this kind of stuff. What a bunch of junk. And God knows I am not a racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I'm colorblind. Good night. I can't tell the difference anyway. It really doesn't bother me. But my dad, 36 years ago, when he taught me to drive, said, when you get pulled over by a police officer, you put your hands on top of the steering wheel after you let the window down, and you answer, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir.
Whatever he tells you to do, you do. If they put you in handcuffs, you let them put you in handcuffs. He said, it's better for us to deal with it in the courts than for you to get shot and killed.
Right.
He doesn't know who you are like you think you know who you are. You just do what you're told, everything will be okay. Do you know that every one of those situations, the people involved, if they would have obeyed the police officer, would have never died?
Right.
Every last one of them. Okay, that was a sub point. In other words, honesty may hurt you. You might have to say, when the police officer pulls you over, yes, sir, I was speeding. Instead of, well, I was only going 5 over. Were you going over the speed limit? Yes, then you deserve a ticket. The speed limit is the speed limit, not the, speed range. Everybody doing all right? Well, he shouldn't have stopped me for that. It doesn't matter what he should have stopped you for. If the speed limit's 65, you do 65. You solve all problems that way. You don't, I read an article in Fox News this morning. Listen to this. There's a former black athlete who says he and many other blacks are going to be changing their support from the liberals to President Trump this year. As many as 20-30% of the black vote is estimated to go to President Trump in 2020, which is unbelievable high. This is what he said. President Trump has exposed the lies that have kept many black people oppressed by the policies of liberalism. He said, they have revealed that we have been lied to generation after generation after generation. And the economy is available to us as well as it is to everybody else. Thank God for somebody that unleashed the beast. Now, those aren't my words. Those are somebody else's words. And by the way, I don't care what color skin somebody has. They're a person.
Right.
Period. End of discussion. We don't make decisions around here based on the color of somebody's skin.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Number two, honesty is not the best policy. It should be the only policy.
That's good.
Let me say that again. Honesty should not be the best policy. It should be the only policy. Oh, I want to take you to a couple places. Turn to 2 Corinthians real quickly. If you can't turn there quickly, just listen. I'll read it out of the King James Bible, I promise you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. God says we're supposed to be honest in the sight of God and in the sight of each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, just a couple pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse number 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Folks, we're all sinners, but we still should be honest with one another. You're looking at a sinner preaching to a bunch of other sinners. I'm not going to lie to you about it. I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else in this room. But may I say this, honesty shouldn't be the best policy. It ought to be the only policy. God cannot lie because God is the source of all truth. If he is truth, he cannot lie. Titus 1:2, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18, talks about our God that cannot lie. He lies not. By the way, the Bible cannot lie because they are God's words. Did you know God cannot lie? He is the word of God. Therefore, the word of God is not a lie. The Quran is. That's the word of man. I'm not afraid to say it. The versions of the Bible, the NASV, the RV, the ASV, the New King James, the Godspeed, the Reader's Digest Condensed Version, the NASV, the HIV for the rainbow people, the whatever Bible there is out there, that's man's words. It's just the old-fashioned King James Bible. It's the one inspired by God for God's people. It's got the truth. That's what we need. Now, listen, by the way, we need to quit fiddling with the Word of God. Just need to keep preaching it and quit fiddling with it. Next, listen to this statement very carefully. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he cannot lie. Can I tell you why he cannot lie? Because he cannot work outside of the confines of that book. Let me teach you something about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit led me to do, and my standard answer is, show me in the Bible where he told you to do that. Well, I just feel the Holy Spirit. You'll never find a feeling attached to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Never. He will lead you by Bible principle only. Well, I just feel led to do this. Well, I've been felt led to do a few things before in my life, and it wasn't a good idea. Y'all ever done something foolish? Yeah, I felt led one day. I had a big pile of brush to burn, about half the size of this auditorium, about as high. I didn't have any kerosene, but I had a 5-gallon can of gas. We're getting things all cleaned up everywhere. I put me a little leader on that thing about 20 feet long. I thought, how bad could this be? I lit that match and had a guy standing about 50 feet away with a garden hose that I could spit more water than came out of that thing. He's standing there like this. And I lit that match and I thought, well, there's a lot of gas on that. I better turn my head when I light this thing. And I dropped that thing on that trail. What I didn't know was, the wind had been blowing real gentle and it was doing this in there. And when I let that thing off and that thing hit the ground and I went like this, the whole world went kaboom. And I mean kaboom. There were people working up on the church roof and their church rattled. The lights were, the chandeliers were shaking in the church. I mean, it was a big 5-gallon gasoline bomb. And I was in the middle. It literally picked me up and threw me probably from almost here to that wall. Because I was kind of taking a step when it happened. I had fire all the way around me. I could see nothing but yellow and orange like this. And the only thing I could think of was, don't breathe. I don't know why. That's all I could think of was, don't breathe. My elbow was getting hot. And it was like God said, you fool, you fool. And as fast as it hit, it was over and I was rolling on the ground. And I looked up and there's people running all over the property. Somebody died. Somebody died. I mean, they thought a bomb went off. The Spanish moss hanging from the giant oak trees. And all of the leaves, poof, gone. I mean, it was a mushroom cloud. I felt led to light that fire till I lit that fire. Guess who led? It wasn't the Holy Ghost. He was saying, you stupid, you stupid. God protect. I mean, it was so bad, my hair went. My eyelashes stuck to my sunglasses and melted. It burned my eyebrows off. We were having church that night. When I took my sunglasses off, I had to go, and it was all the way around. It looked like false eyelashes on my sunglasses. Oh, it was wonderful. Big old burn on my elbow. I had to call my barber at the house and say, look, I got to sit on the platform tonight, and I was just at a fire. I got to his place. He says, I don't know if I can do it. I said, just do your best. Since we got to cut it all, there's not much left anyway. Just do your best. Stank. Now, I felt led to use gasoline. I don't feel led to use gasoline anymore. Guess what? Yeah, diesel fuel, just let her burn, do something. But call the fire department or call Brother Barnes. But, you know, your feelings can lie to you. Well, I can do this. Yeah. The Holy Spirit does not work through feelings. Your feelings lie to you. Your perception can lie to you. Well, I'm just perceiving that the Lord wants me to do. Show me in the Bible. You will never find emotion involved with the Holy Spirit. Feelings are never mentioned with the Holy Spirit. We need to tell the truth as the only way of being acceptable. God can't lie. The Bible can't lie. The Holy Spirit can't lie. So I guess the only one of us that can lie is us and the devil. By the way, all the truth, not just partial truth. Not just the truth that you want somebody to hear. Tell all the truth. Number three, I must hurry. Your truthfulness will be a barometer of how much others trust you. That's called integrity. I trust Brother Mike Schinneberger. He has much integrity. You know why? Because Brother Mike doesn't lie. At least to me. Can I tell you something? There's been times I take, now, Brother Mike, tell me the truth. Preacher, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think that's a good idea. Okay. Let's talk about it. Say why. The men on our board, I tell them, I don't want you to be a yes man. I want you to be looking out for something that could go wrong. Now, we don't have to be mean and brutal about how we express the difference or potential issue. And if we do it in a gentlemanly way, guess what? It all works out real well. Say, why is that? Because I don't think I'm God that I have all the right answers. Boy, that's a good statement. Yes. Acts chapter 6, verse number 3. This is a good verse for you to read here. Acts chapter 6, verse number 3. Oh, man, I have 7 minutes. Turn there fast. Lick your finger quicker, all right? Acts 6, 3, the Bible says this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It's in reference to deacons. Did you know that we are to be honest in good report? Boy, that's a good statement. Now, let me bring it down to where we live. You're not going to like this. We need to be honest at home. We need to be honest in our marriage. Fellas, if you tell her you're going to do something, do it. Oh, I forgot. Then don't tell her that you're going to do something. You better make it important enough to you to write it down and make sure that you keep it. If it's something you want to do, you're not going to miss it. Ouch. If it was going hunting, you sure wouldn't miss it. If it was going to do your favorite thing to do, you wouldn't miss it. Guess what? If you promise her you're going to do something, y'all do it. Now, I live a life that's based off of the schedules of a lot of people. We face emergencies. My wife will tell you, though, there's very few times that I've ever promised her something that we didn't keep it most of the time at the time promised. Rare occasion in a super huge emergency, we've had to delay it and do it at a different time. But it's very rare. I have found most emergencies aren't life and death. Everybody doing okay? In child rearing, we need to tell the truth. If you promise your children or your child you're going to do something, follow through with it. Worst thing in the world is promise them to do something and say, oh, I don't remember doing that. Or I forgot. And you wonder why, as they get older, they don't trust you. By the way, I think you ought to teach a child if they promise something, they have to make it happen. Teach your children integrity and honesty by making them do what they said that they would do. First of all, they're going to learn it by your example. Second of all, you'll build it in them by making them do what they said they would do. I'll have my bed made by this time. Well, go make your bed. I'll have my room clean by this year. I'll have this done by this time. Then make them follow through with it. Boy, that's a good statement. Integrity and telling the truth is good at work also. I think you ought to tell the truth where you work. Same is true in a friendship. I think we ought to be true in our friendship with each other. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Often people ask me, can I use you as a job reference? As long as you're willing to let me tell the truth. For some of you, you choose not to. Okay. But I've teased with Ellen about it, and I've helped her a few times, and she's saying, now, preacher, now, don't tell all the truth. Can I tell you something? I think we ought to tell the truth. When I worked in a couple different Bible colleges, I would have pastors call me about certain college students that they were looking at to hire, and I told them the truth. Well, this one, they never show up to their meetings on time. They don't do much. I'd tell them the truth. I said, if I were a pastor, I wouldn't hire them. You can do what you want. Check them out. There was other. You say, you did that? Yeah. My integrity was on the line recommending them. I think we ought to tell the truth at church, but not only at church, at home, at work, with our friends, and everywhere else. Number four, I love this. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I've got to hurry. I have 3.5 minutes. Listen fast while I talk fast. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are, what's the next word? Honest. Huh. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to think honestly. The average newscast doesn't fall into Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 anywhere. Be careful how much of it you listen to. Honest, true, pure, lovely, good report. I'm going to make some statements here. We need to think about honest things in order to live honestly. Let me make a statement here. I am not on a vendetta. I am not saying that you're wrong and I am right, but I'm going to tell you how I do some things. I do not use social media. I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm just telling you, I don't live in a world where people can say whatever they want, whether it's right or wrong, and everybody believes it's right. I don't live with that venue. You can say what you want on this. I don't read fiction books. I don't read something that's non-truth. It's not sinful. But I will not read, and I have not read, a fiction book since probably before high school. I don't read, well, at least high school. I don't read fiction. Say why? It's not truth. God says I'm to think on things that are honest, that are truth. That's going to separate us. I don't play or live in the video game world or the virtual reality world or the cyber world. I don't play video games. I don't play any of them. You say, why? It's a non-real world. Most of it is nothing but the same rock music that you tried to wean yourself off of anyway. You go into a restaurant and hear it, and you get mad, but you play it, and it's on the video games that you play. Now, wait a minute. The virtual reality world and the cyber world has helped us to quickly destroy the honesty of humanity. It really has. People can get up and vent and say whatever they want on social media, and we think it's okay. We feel like we have to give our opinion about everything we buy and leave a little comment here or whatever. And then we're silly enough to go back and read all those dumb comments. I don't read any of those comments. You say, you don't? No. We need to think on honest things in order to live an honest life. Say, well, preacher, there's things out. Folks, I don't need Facebook. If I haven't talked to somebody in 40 years, what have I missed? Please don't take that the wrong way. But if it's not been important enough for them and I to talk in 40 years, what do we have to talk about now? I got plenty of other things to get done. I believe instead of Facebook, we ought to keep our face in the book. Man tries to be good so that he does not have to be honest about the faults and sins in his own life. Man tries to earn his own salvation so he does not have to admit that he's a sinner deserving of hell. One of the first things you do when you try to win someone to Christ is you have to make sure they understand they're a sinner. You say, why? Because without needing a Savior, they're not going to get saved. You have to understand that you're a sinner. By the way, man tries to cover that up and say, well, I think my good will outweigh the bad. You're already on a losing path. We are all, by the way, we're not good enough to judge other people either. We're not as holy as we think we are. We need to stop thinking that our sin isn't as bad as somebody else's sin. I've got to quit. I'm done. Usually, the hardest person in the world to be honest with is ourselves. Usually the person easiest to lie to is yourself. Well, I can do this, nobody will see. Well, I can do this, this won't hurt me. How about we strive to be honest to ourselves and to all mankind? If we would just learn to live with that integrity that God said, to live with that honesty that God said, we don't have to be brutal. We don't have to be unkind. We don't have to be a jerk about how we present truth, but let's live honestly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. So much more I'd like to say, but I won't at this time. We all need to learn and all need to live a bit more honestly. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed. Would you raise your hand on my soul? Many, many, many hands.